Good morning, and welcome again to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp, in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Frank DeMartini. He's retired Command Sergeant Major, who serves as the admissions coordinator for the Southeastern Veterans Center, located in Spring City. Welcome, Frank, and thank you so much for your service. 39 years is a that's almost a lifetime, is it not?
Really.
Very much so. Thank you.
Well, welcome to the life of the civilian.
Yes, you're right. Quite different.
I'm sure it is. You're the admissions coordinator for Southeastern Veterans Center, located in Spring City. What exactly is the Southeastern Veterans Center?
It's a veterans home. We have personal care and skilled nursing for our veterans and their spouses. We have it's 184-bed facility for our skilled nursing and 54 beds for our personal care or independent care for our veterans and their spouses.
Is this a federal location, a federal facility?
No, sir. It's a state-run facility. The state of Pennsylvania has six veterans homes throughout the state of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Hollidaysburg, Spring City, Northeast Philadelphia, Scranton, and Erie.
How long have you been in business? When was this established?
We were established 1987-88 time frame. I mean, our veterans home in Erie was established right after the Civil War.
Wow.
So this really is something of a long life here. We're talking back in the 1860s.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Our Erie home was started right after the Civil War. I think it was like 1865, 67, thanks for the Civil War veterans.
And how does one qualify to be a patient or not a is it a patient or a resident?
We call it residents. And the qualifications are very simple. They have to be a resident of Pennsylvania, and they have to be honorably discharged from the armed forces. So it's very simple to qualify.
Okay, and these are regulated by the state then?
Yes, sir. They're regulated by the State Veterans Affairs, which is headquartered at 48 Town Gap. The Adjutant General of Pennsylvania is the head of, his Deputy Adjutant General, General Jerry Beck, is the Veterans Administrator for the state.
Okay. You had mentioned that this is the best-kept secret of Chester County, and I guess of the state, is it not?
Yes, I feel that it's the best-kept secret of Chester County because people don't know us. They don't know that we exist, and when I say that we're on the old Pennhurst grounds, all of a sudden, then they realize that, oh, now I know where you are, you know. But we are a best-kept secret because most of my applications do not come from Chester County. They come from Lancaster, Berks, and Delaware County anymore.
So that with that, I guess that you would have, with the six different homes, how do we coordinate where someone would be the resident? Is it based on their geography, or would they then just apply to each of the individual homes themselves?
Well, the application process, they submit an application, and they can make two choices to two different homes, or possibly three if they wanted to. And then we all keep them. Some of my homes do not have the demographic population we have here, so they don't have a waiting list, whereas we do. I have about a 3 to 4 month waiting list. So if they need immediate assistance, we can try to coordinate so that they go to another one of our homes, tell them to put the application there. And then once they get there, they can request a transfer to my home, and they can sit on the waiting list until they come to the top, and then we make coordination with that nursing home or the veterans home to go get them.
Okay, so that these are veterans. I'm assuming both men and women.
Yes, sir.
And they would then, at what point would they apply? Are they living in their personal home, or are they at another facility? What is the process there, and at what point would they make the application?
I have, basically, I would say it's the family's decision on when they feel it's necessary. to move the resident, maybe because of cost or, the spouse can no longer take care of her husband. I have, just because they apply and they come to my list and I offer them a bed, they can deny it. They can decline that bed, and then they just have to reapply. I have some families that reapply 5 and 6 times before the time is right for them to send their father or their husband to my facility.
So when you say that they would deny it, that means that they wanted to get on the list and thinking that perhaps the opening would be in 6 months, and all of a sudden it comes in 2 months, and they're like, we're not quite ready for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And what kind of services do you provide?
Well, we provide all skilled nursing services, as we provide physical therapy services. We have that, and I have 3 medical doctors and 3 nurse practitioners on our staff that are contracted through the state to assist us in maintaining the facility.
So that this basically is skilled nursing. It's not really a retirement home. It's not really assisted living, though.
No, not really, because the personal care facility on the 4th floor of my facility is, they share a room, 2 or 3 to a room. They're totally independent. The only thing we do with them is to give them their medication. Everything else, they're required, all their ADLs, as we call them, they're required to do them. They're required to make their own bed, do their own laundry, be able to feed themselves.
Now, are they the ones they go to the cafeteria or
yes,
whatever for
yes.
their meals?
That, and what happens is that when we go through the admissions committee, and the admissions committee says that they're eligible for personal care, what we do is we ask them to come in to make the assessment, because even though they show that they do not need any assistance, to go from the 4th floor to the first floor and to walk 300 feet to the dining facility, even though it's enclosed,
uh-huh.
it can be very difficult for some.
Got
now,
it.
I have some that have walkers, wheelchairs, motorized scooters, and they mm-hmm. have no problem. But, we need to see that to make that. I have usually a registered nurse makes that assessment.
Got it. Okay.
So this is more like a hospital setting, and the fact that it's a room where all the furniture is provided. It's not like you're moving into assisted living, and the individual would be in a room with others, perhaps, or you have some with 4, some with 3 to a room. What are the different formats that you have there? You have some single rooms also?
Yes, sir. For skilled nursing, what we tell all our visitors and applicants is that we initially bring them to Coates Hall, which is our older building that we inherited from the Pennhurst. And that's a 4-person room they come to initially. And then they'll matriculate down to a double room. And then the average is probably about 1.5 years that they'll move over to our new facility, which we call the CLC building for Community Living Center. And they're single rooms. So it goes 4, 2, and over to the single rooms. But in all honesty, a lot of our residents decline to go to the new facility because they're in a single room by themselves, and they're in the room with 4 or 2 gentlemen or ladies, whatever it may be, and they get the camaraderie and they enjoy the staff there on the 3rd floor. So when it comes time for them to move, we do it by date of admission to make it fair, and we offer them the room to move, and they decline it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that makes sense, I guess, especially at that age in of life, you want to be around, and with veterans, you want to be around people that know what you know, and so forth and so on. And so they would probably, some of them would be more comfortable in that kind of a setting.
Yeah, and it's very much so. And sometimes if the family makes a decision for them, and then when we do move them, it's surprisingly their health declines.
Wow.
it's really something.
Then I would assume you move them back.
If the family wants to.
Oh,
it's all the family.
I see.
Everything,
okay.
Once the person becomes a resident at our facility, our staff constantly is in contact with the family, letting them know everything that is going on with their loved one,
mm-hmm.
you know. No matter what, we make sure we're in constant contact with them.
So this is a sense of security. This is a sense of community. It's a support group. And these are their friends. And it's almost like their family at your location. And it's like, why would you separate me from my friends and my family and move me to another building or to another floor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now tell me this. How about the financing of this? Who pays and how is that figured out and so forth?
Well, the resident's income from all sources is the main factor considered in setting the monthly maintenance fees. Assets of limits set by the federal VA, which is currently set at $80,000, establishes the resident to pay full cost of care, which is approximately at this time $8,300 a month for skilled nursing and $4,600 for personal care. Allowances are made for certain deductions when the resident has a spouse. Monthly maintenance fees are established upon admission, and we recalculate them every annually. As I explain to my visitors when I give them a tour, I tell them, in a four-person room, you may have our beds are A, B, C, and D. You may have a person in bed A paying $8,300, bed B paying approximately, let's say, $2,000, bed C have a wife on the outside who needs money to live and survive paying zero. And we also have it that if we bring in residents that have no income, they're guaranteed we give them $150 a month. So we're paying them.
So it's kind of a sliding scale.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
Got it.
So it's on the ability to pay.
Yes.
And it's so there's a fee scale, mm-hmm. but it's not fixed that every person is subject to that fee scale.
Yes, sir.
That's great. As far as you had mentioned veterans and you have men and women, now what about like a veteran and perhaps his wife? They've perhaps given up their home, and now where would she go? Can she come there also?
Yes, but the way the rules of the veterans' homes are written, a spouse of a veteran, I only have very limited rooms for females. So a spouse of a veteran may sit on my waiting list for 2, 3, or more years waiting for a room because veterans have priority. So every application would have a female veteran. She would have priority. Once a veteran, a male veteran, becomes a resident, then his spouse has priority over the spouses who applied, but their husbands are not residents. So it's a very fine line that we use all the time to try to manage this.
So then a spouse of a veteran can come there also without the veteran?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yes.
Without the veteran?
Yes, ma'am.
Without the veteran.
Yes, sir.
So here you have a veteran who is living outside the home, but his wife needs care. You would accept her?
Well, I would accept her, but the problem being is that she would sit on my waiting list for
But she would qualify.
She does qualify.
If, in fact, there were an opening. So this is not limited to just veterans, but to
veteran spouses as well.
Veteran spouses also.
Mm-hmm. So as long as the veteran is engaged in this application process, his spouse could then, as a non-veteran, be accepted
without him. And right now, in my personal care, I have two husband and wife that are sharing a room, and the spouse is considered a non-veteran by the rules. So the veteran's there with his spouse, and they're together.
So that would be a room that would accommodate two persons.
Yes.
And it would be the husband and wife.
Yes.
You had mentioned that that's not always the case, that sometimes before the show.
No, it's not. In some cases, the husband says that we can accept his wife, but not in the same room. So. Or vice versa.
That's pretty funny.
It is.
You said not even on the same floor?
Sometimes not even in the same building.
Wow. So he wants to know that she's taken care of, but he doesn't want to be the one taken care of.
Yes. That's as I constantly, that's a social services problem, not mine.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny.
It is.
But that's great that that you have this program that will accept the families and all persons can be taken care of, and you consider that, in the mix. And it's incredible also, as a state-run facility, you seem to have a better track record than what we're hearing from the federal VA now. That's for sure.
Yes, we do. We're very proud of that. And in all honesty, it's something that we constantly bring out to the public and tell them we are not the federal VA. We are a state VA. When I do expos, I have many people come to me. If I set up a table and they're constantly bickering with me and complaining about, and I have to send them, no, you don't want me. Mm-hmm. The federal VA table's like three tables down, so please go down there. Mm-hmm. We're here to help you.
Wow.
So, what are the qualifications to apply?
You have to be a resident of the state of Pennsylvania.
And a veteran.
And a veteran. But there's also, if you're not a resident of the state, we consider that what we call a secondary list. You could also apply, but you're going to sit on a list and probably not get in, in all honesty, because my veteran list population just keeps on getting larger and larger.
Okay. What would disqualify you?
Well, what would disqualify if the applicant, his condition requires mental health care or custody, we're not a mental health facility. So if it's not regulated, and we also have to look at the safety of the residents we have. So the admissions committee may deny that. But once a person's denied, they receive a denial letter, and they can appeal that to the adjutant general and say, you know, there's circumstances that we may not know. We may not – because we're based everything on medical information that we receive from the applicant. So there may be some updated information we don't know about.
Now, you have 184 skilled nursing residents.
Yes, ma'am.
And 30 of those are in your memory care unit.
Yes,
ma'am. Can you talk a little bit about the memory care unit?
Our memory care unit is a secure facility, and my commandant, my medical director, my director of nursing, they feel that is a form of restraint, and so they're very cautious in who they put there. They have to show they have a history of wandering and some kind of documentation. Or what we do have is that we have some that come into our skilled nursing, and all of a sudden they become wanderers. In order for their safety, we'll put them in our memory secure unit.
Ah, got it. And now the skilled nursing residents, other than the memory care unit personnel there, what is done for them, and what's their day like?
Well, we assist them in their the dressing and the bathing, getting them ready for the day. Then we will take them to the dining facility, which is right on the same floor, and we serve them breakfast. And then they have variations of activities. You know, they have like card games or ball toss games, and we have a lot of community bands come in and participate, or DJs come in and music therapy. But we do bingo on Tuesday evenings, and we do bingo on Wednesday afternoons. Huh. We have ice cream socials. And usually they're held at Tillman Hall, which, as I told you previously, is like a 300-foot walk down the hallway. And as I tell everybody, you do not want to be in the hallway when we have bingo or ice cream socials. There is no sympathy for running you over.
With their walker or their wheelchair?
Walkers, wheelchairs, no matter what. They have to get there. So,
that's cute.
We have a lot of volunteers that come in and help us to be able to bring those residents to those locations so that they can participate in them. And we also have religious services on Sunday in both facilities, both Catholic and Protestant. And we have on Tuesdays, we have a Bible study.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, very nice. And they look forward to it. They very look forward to it.
So with this, you're mentioning the cafeteria. I'm assuming then that you accommodate special diet requirements, and you have a program there that would allow whether you be diabetic or you have some other kind of issues with cholesterol or what have you, do you have special meals available?
Yes,
then?
Sir. We have when they first become a resident, they will see physical therapy and they will see our dietitian and to see what kind of meals they need. Or as they progress through their age, they may need a meal change. But we have dietitians on staff, so we have diabetic meals. We have what we call mechanical soft meals. We have pureed meals, and everybody, every one of them is individually assessed by the dietary staff to make sure that they know what they need to have.
What about their dental needs?
Part of our cost is they get a dental checkup and a cleaning once a year. We have a dentist also contracted by the state. Should they need additional dental work or during the year they need dental work, again, the social worker is their advocate, and he's in constant contact with the family saying what they need and whether they want to proceed or not.
So this is a combination of several people in the support side. You have a social worker, and then you have your staff, which will do an evaluation. The social worker, I guess, would be the interface between your location and the family.
Yeah, the social worker is basically the interface, and he's the resident. He's the advocate. He assists the resident in their needs, whatever it may be, or concerns. It's the same. We do have what we call a care plan, where we have a initial 21 days they become a resident. We sit down with the family, the social worker, the dietary staff, nursing, and to go over any changes, any needs, any requests that the family may have and whether we can abide by those requests. And then once we do that, then they do it every 90 days. And if the resident family, some families are maybe out of state, living in Seattle, we have some, in California and all. Mm-hmm. So they do it, they telephonically will do it for with them. So that we keep up with the needs and the families.
Now, you said that this is, what did you say, $8,100 a month?
Well, it's right now it's approximately $8,300 for skilled nursing.
But a lot of these other homes, nursing homes and so forth, are much, much more than that, aren't they? I mean, there's some that, think you said 14,000.
Yes, some of them are in 14,000, 11,000 category per month. And that's why some of our residents may be in those nursing homes, but then their funding has, just been absolved. They don't have any funding remaining, and they're looking for something. It's a very harsh world out there when you look at that.
But no applicant is denied admission because of lack of income or assets, right?
Absolutely. No advocate is denied admission because of assets. We look at the only way we probably would, we deny an application is maybe because of a medical condition that we can't handle,
right.
But most of the times, we can handle mostly everything.
So the fee is based on the ability to pay.
Absolutely.
And that's where we are. Perfect.
Yes. And then there's also the estate that the deceased residents are billed for the difference between the cost of care at the state veterans home and what was paid for the maintenance fees while they're staying.
Okay. As far as the veterans oftentimes having a different need than the civilian, whether it be a disability, an amputee, things like that, or PTSD, you're saying that the only thing that you cannot handle is mental health. But other than that, you've got everything covered?
Mostly, yes, sir. And mental health, we still have some we can handle as long as it's regulated.
Are you saying that as long as somebody's not violent?
Exactly right.
To themselves or to others.
Or right, there's certain, we will not, there's certain, drugs that we will not administer. Mm-hmm. Because of that, to control their to go out their condition. So we have to worry about that.
Well, that's really great. It sounds like you have, it doesn't sound like, you absolutely do have all the bases covered. And I can see where this is one of the best kept secrets if, in fact, people are not applying from the local area, that you have the veterans' best interests in mind and you have the ability to take care of them and including the family and what have you. So that's one of the most encouraging things that we've had, in the fact that the veteran community, I think, deserves, well, it's not that they deserve it, they've earned it. Were it not for the veterans, we don't have a better country because of our veterans. It's because of our veterans that we have a country.
And there are so many benefits available for veterans that they're not aware of, which is one of the things we try to do on this show, is to bring these things to the public so that you know they're here.
Right. It's a public awareness that here's a resource that's available to you, the veteran community, and to also the spouse and perhaps the family of the veteran community, that you would be able to take care of the special needs and what have you. We're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll be on the other side, and we'll continue the conversation.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp, in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Frank DeMartini, retired Command Sergeant Major, U.S. Army. And Frank is the admissions coordinator for the Southeastern Veterans Center located in Spring City. And we've been talking about the center, Frank, and about what you have available as far as services and what have you. And you had mentioned that some of the activities that the veterans participate in would be like a ball toss and bingo and whatever. But during the break, you really expounded on that this is quite a facility as far as activities. And if you could, just kind of walk us through a day in your facility and give us an idea of what types of activities we're talking about here.
We could have, you know, normal day could include maybe a music therapy program, or we can use, we bring them down for arts and crafts where we have volunteers that make items and we'll bring the residents in to paint these items and to do different things. We have discussion groups. We do shopping trips. We'll take a resident out for shopping. We take trips to the Reading Phillies. We take trips to the Philadelphia Phillies for our personal care people. We took our residents on fishing trips, and then we will have a fish fry a week later or something where we'll actually barbecue the fish for them and bring them down to have it. We do a lot of word games, movies, like I said, bingo. But we try to keep them as active as possible. We feel that's the best thing to do. It's not where we want them just sitting, you know, doing nothing.
But you have other entertainment and so forth that you bring in as well, too.
Oh, my God, yes. We have a lot of school groups that come in during school year. And even now, we have orchestras that come in, DJs that come in. We do karaoke. To see the residents intermingle with the young middle school children is just phenomenal when we do it, especially around Veterans Day or the holidays when they come in and do beautiful programs with them.
You had mentioned that I didn't even know that this exists, but there's a Chester County Orchestra, you said, that came in?
Yeah, we had a Chester County Orchestra a couple weeks ago. Potsgrove Band came in also, like an 80-piece ensemble that came in one evening and played for our residents in this in Tillman Hall, which is our dining facility and for our personal care residents, but it's a large meeting room. We play where we do our ice cream socials. We have bingo and just some type of activities like that, large activities.
You were telling us a story about the pool table.
Yes, my commandant, who just recently came to us, I brought him over to the Exton Diner for the bistro for the every weekly, 3 weeks, the veterans breakfast. And he was explaining to me, we were talking, I was trying to explain to him how the vets assist us and the different organizations do. And he told me that, you know, he was thinking about placing a pool table in one of our buildings, in our new building. And I spoke to the representative for the Purple Heart, and he came over and said, no problem. Here.
It was Buddy Rhodes.
It was.
Everybody knows Buddy.
And it was Buddy. And Buddy came over and said, I'll bring you a check next week. And we're in the process of procuring a pool table now.
Another example of veterans helping veterans.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
They take care of their own.
This is a real social environment, then. This is not we're not warehousing people, which is so encouraging in the fact that many facilities, it's just like we have people in a room and they just sit there and they do effectively nothing. They watch TV and sleep, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We're here. This is a vibrant community. It was almost like going back to what we had talked about earlier in the first segment, that there may be a resident that is with two or three others in the same room, and all of a sudden a single room becomes available, and the family says, well, let's move my dad or my brother or someone to a single room, and that person now, you said, actually their health deteriorates.
In some cases, yes, sir.
Where you're looking for a community, a feel of community, sense of community, and a little support group there.
So a lot of these veterans enjoy being in like a dormitory kind of situation with a couple of other guys, and they're more comfortable there.
Yes, because in all honesty, we try not to keep them in their room, so they're only there for sleeping, you know. And I mean, each resident, each skilled nursing resident has a TV, but you know, we also have activity rooms there on the floor for them to go and watch TV if they would like, together as a group, instead of having to sit there or lay in bed and watch TV there.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to keep them out of their rooms as much as possible.
Now, with this, I'm sure that the staff is limited in what they can provide, so you also have volunteers that come in and assist with you on these activities?
We would not be able to exist without the volunteers that we have, and we're always looking for more. But, I mean, American Legion, VFW, Disabled American Vets, Marine Corps League, Vietnam Veterans, American Gold Star Mothers, Knights of Columbus, Elks Lodge, Wounded Warriors, Daughters of the American Revolution, and probably more that I somehow just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But without them, we would not be able to exist.
But can just anybody come and volunteer if they like?
Yes, they just have to put in an application with our volunteer coordinator. Her name is April Harley. And
how could they contact her?
They can contact her by her email is aharley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, at pa.gov. Or they can call her and leave a message at 610-948-2418. They do an application, and then she will get in contact with them and see when they're available to help us.
One of the things that you mentioned was the hours of the canteen that you have.
Yes.
You want to elaborate on that?
Our canteens are open 4 days a week, 2 hours a day, 9:30 to 11:30, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're totally run by our volunteer staff. If we had more volunteers, we would be able to expand those hours. 9:30 in the morning, as I said, you know, residents are down there buying ice cream, mm-hmm. and it's they would probably be buying it more or having an opportunity to go down and buy more snacks. Should we had be able to have that off the two facilities, we have one on each end of the building, open for longer hours. So we're always looking for volunteers.
So out in the audience, anybody has some time and wants to help out with the veterans, here's your opportunity, and it's you know, local, so think about that.
And, and we work around your hours.
And I'm sure work around the skill of
Absolutely.
Volunteer.
Yes, we have volunteers who come in and do our help us, assist us, and to better the outside and do plantings and pull weeds for us.
Do you have volunteers that, like, teach art or crafts, or are they your staff?
No, that's all volunteers. We have in a conjunction with our activity staff, but right. that's...
So anybody, almost anybody, could have some kind of skill that they could offer to help out.
We need volunteers. When we have large activities at our, like I said, at Tillman Hall, which is the middle building, we need volunteers just to bring the residents down there by wheeling them down on their wheelchairs.
So somebody wouldn't have to agree to be there so many days a week or something like that. It could be like an on-call basis.
2 hours a day, 2 hours a week, you know, whatever
they're
available.
Whatever they can do.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a cross-section, if you would, of your residents. What's the age variation and their experiences relative to their veteran service?
I mean, we don't have. We haven't reached anyone. We've had them, but not right now. We don't have anyone that hit the century mark, but they're getting close to it. We have some very close. I have residents who have survived Pearl Harbor. I have residents who jumped into Normandy. Residents who were in Vietnam. So we have a variations of a different experience throughout. I would say probably the age right now is in the mid 80s. If we looked it over, I just had someone ask me, you know, how many Marines, former Marines, do we have?
There is no such thing as a former Marine. A Marine, always a Marine.
Right. But I told him, I said, well, we only had like about 16 right now. And he was very disappointed to have 184. I only had 16 former Marines on the staff.
He was a Marine, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
And I just brought someone in yesterday who was a Marine. And I said, okay, now we're up to 17. I feel better.
That's
so there's always a little bickering between the different branches of the service.
It's all in good fun,
though. Oh, absolutely.
They're still all on the same team.
There's a significant sense of pride here.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they've done things that most people can't even imagine doing in their lifetime. And now they can sit down with others of similar experiences and they understand, they can speak to each other because they've all been there and they all know what it's like. So it's not, no one is recoiling in horror or anything like that. So it just seems like your whole environment is one of similar backgrounds, to the point where, you know, you all obviously get along really well together, I'm sure, that there are no issues with that. So with all that having been said, how does someone apply? How do they contact you, and what is the procedure?
The procedure is very simple, actually. They have to do an application. That they can call me at 610-948-2406 and leave me a message, and I will call back. I guarantee I will call you back within a reasonable amount of time, or they could go online to www.sevc.state.pa.us and pull an application down. And it's a very simple application, and submit it. And then that starts the process. It goes to our headquarters at 48 Town Gap, and then they will put it on a server and send it to us. We run an admissions committee, which is my commandant, my director of nursing, director of medicine, and director of social services, and they will make the decision on what level of care the applicant needs, and then we will put them on the list, and that's all. It's very simple.
Now, you say now currently you have a waiting list, correct?
Yes. I have, for skilled nursing, I have a 3 to 4 month waiting list. For my personal care floor, I do not have a waiting list, so to say, but I do because I cannot bring anyone in right now because we're trying to get more staffing for that floor because of the abundance of applications that I had. So I'm currently waiting for the staffing to be resolved before I can admit anyone else.
But so you physically have the room.
Yes,
you just don't have the staff to do the support.
Yes, sir.
And you had mentioned that you're looking to increase the capacity.
Yes, we're going through the process right now. We're trying to increase our skilled nursing 54 more beds. We're hopefully trying to get it done by the end of the year. But hopefully it can happen. Mm-hmm. But we have to go through a lot of different regulatory requirements to get
the good old bureaucracy.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But the good news is it's a state-level bureaucracy and it's not a federal level.
Yes.
So
not really.
No? Oh.
See, I always tell everyone we're unique because we are regulated by our Veterans Administration out of the state of Pennsylvania, but also by the federal VA out of Coatesville, also by the state of Pennsylvania Department of Health. Our personal care people upstairs are by the State Department of Human Services. So we can run various unannounced inspections constantly. So we're regulated by quite a few agencies, and they're constantly monitoring what we do.
Now, you had told us when we were speaking on the break that you really love your job. And I just from hearing you talk, I can tell that. But you really do love your job, don't you?
It is the best thing I've ever done. I can't ask for anything. You know, our motto is serving those who served. And when you see how we take care of the veterans and we resolve the problems that the family may have, the concern that they have, and the satisfaction that they receive, it's just so rewarding. And the veterans, they are quite happy there. They are getting proper care and excellent care. They're doing things that they wouldn't be able to do if they were living alone.
I would assume that they're very grateful for everything you do for them, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, the families are also. The families are very grateful.
Well, you probably take a large load off their shoulders by knowing that they don't have to worry about their loved one, that they're being cared for properly.
Very much so. That's very good. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So often today we hear of real difficult situations in some of the nursing homes where, again, people are being warehoused and they're not being cared for. And it's just a bad condition where you're looking at a situation here where you're trying to provide the best quality of life possible. And you're obviously succeeding. Which is encouraging all the way around.
It is, and as I tell my visitors when I do the tours and all, you know, we really look upon ourselves, you know, as an exceptionally clean facility. We pride ourselves on our cleanliness. So that's something that, you know, you go into other nursing facilities and sometimes you don't have that, but we pride ourselves on that.
Now, you're saying tours, so you do conduct tours. How would someone come and visit your facility?
I conduct tours every Wednesday at 10 a.m. You don't need an appointment. You just have to come in. If Wednesday's inconvenient, I will try to work with you. Just give me a call, and I will try to work with you on setting up a tour some other day. But we do it religiously every Wednesday at 10 a.m., and if I'm not there to conduct a tour, it takes about approximately an hour. Usually gets over by 11 because I take you from the fourth floor personal care to the skilled nursing to the Tillman Hall, which is our large dining facility and activities room, to the new facility, the CLC building. So it takes about a good hour. But if I'm not there, someone's always there to conduct a tour on Wednesday.
Now, here's a good question. Do you have a lot of young people volunteer, or are they normally older people?
From what I see, the majority are older people. Yes, we can use young people.
I was going to say it would be nice to get some younger people to volunteer.
The residents really relate well with the young.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Do you ever have the dogs come in?
Yes, we do have pet therapy.
Therapy?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have pet therapy, and the residents really enjoy that. It's every Sunday they come in the morning. They do pet therapy, and sometimes I see them during the week also, but I know it's usually scheduled every Sunday that they have them.
So if you wanted to come for a tour, where exactly are you located in Spring City? How do you have a website that people can find you that would kind of give a little overview or some other way that we can get a little direction map?
Well, we're at www.sevc, which stands for Southeast Veterans Center, .state.pa.us is our website, okay. And that will give information. We're located at on One Veterans Drive in Spring City, which is basically the old Pennhurst facility. It's off of Bridge Street in Spring City and 724 in that vicinity in Chester County.
Now, this we've spoken about your facility, and there are six of them across the state.
Yes.
They all provide pretty much the same level of service, the same facility?
Well, we have a veterans home in Pittsburgh that only has skilled nursing. The one in Hollidaysburg has both personal care and skilled nursing. Scranton has just skilled nursing. And Erie has both personal care and skilled nursing. And the Delaware Valley home in Northeast Philadelphia has personal care and skilled nursing also.
So if someone were living here listening to the show and they had a relative or a friend that lived in Pittsburgh, how would that person in Pittsburgh contact that particular location? Is there a common website that would take you to the program itself for the state, or
yes.
Is it just by location?
Yes, they can go to www.dmva.state.pa.us. which is for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and that would give them access to all the veterans homes, the information for all the veterans homes we have in the state.
That's great. And as far as the application, it's easy to apply, and probably suggest that they come for a tour first and take a look at the facilities and see where.
I definitely recommend that they do that and ask them that. To come for the tour first. And then I also say some families they can't wait the 3 or 4 months. So I recommend that they may go to another one of our facilities, and they can transfer from one facility to another once they get there. So if they're in need right away, we can send them, tell them to apply to another one of our facilities that may have vacancies a lot sooner than I would. And then I would, once they get there, put in a transfer request to me, and then we provide the transportation to the back to our facility when the time comes.
Very good. I'm just so pleased that you were available to come into the studio today and share this with us. And again, what we try to do here on the show is not provide an entertainment venue, but one of information. And again, this is another resource that's available to the veteran community, that it's affordable in the fact that whatever you can afford, that's what the fee is. That we're not having some kind of a fixed fee that when you run out of cash, you're now displaced,
yeah.
Which may very well be some of the residents that you have, that they've been displaced from another location because they ran out of money or whatever the case may be. And I would encourage our listening audience that if they have time or an interest to possibly volunteer and even just come for a tour and look at it and decide at that point. I would also suggest that we get young people involved. You had mentioned that the Pottstown High School band came in, so that you do have you've encouraged young people to come in, but as a group as opposed to individuals, or perhaps a mother daughter or a father son would come in and do the volunteer work with you. So, and again, I thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And like I say, we do not have a better country because of our veterans. It's because of our veterans we have a country, and that's of utmost importance to us. Wanted to kind of just touch base on a program that we had several weeks ago. Well, more than about 2-3 months ago, we had Jill Hardy was on. Jill Hardy is a Gold Star mother, and she lost her son Brandon Hardy April 28th, 2006. Brandon was U.S. Air Force 5 years and staff sergeant, and he left the Air Force and he gave up both rank and pay. And he enlisted in the Marines. He thought he wanted to do more for the country. And on his first deployment to Iraq, he was killed in an IED explosion, he and two other of his teammates. And Jill was on and spoke about Brandon and spoke about the Brandon Hardy Foundation and keeping his name alive. And the Chester County Marine Corps League has taken up that that movement and the fact that they are very supportive of this whole program. And they're having their annual golf outing, golf classic at the Whitford Hills Road location at the in memory of Brandon. And it's on September 1st, 2015. So it starts at 9 o'clock, and it's the 21st of September. Starts at 9 o'clock with a continental breakfast, and then the tournament is at 10. And then there's a buffet dinner starting at 3 and evening events starting at 4. The contact there is Bob Campana, and his number is 610-363-7164. I'm sorry. 610-363-7174. Or you can contact him at CC Marines. That's for Chester County Marines. So it's ccmarines@verizon.net. You can contact him for tickets. If you play golf, you can participate in the program of both the golf outing and the dinner. If you don't play golf, just come for the dinner. So we'd like to invite the listening audience to support this this golf event. And it's September 21st over in Whitford Hills. And again, Bob Campana, 610-363-7174, or ccmarines@verizon.net. This is a great program, and they've done a lot for the community. They've raised a lot of money, and they give out scholarships to Marines currently serving and those that have served. So, Gene?
And they will have in attendance several wounded warriors and amputees from Afghanistan and Iraq. So if you want the opportunity to come and thank these gentlemen for their service, there it is.
Perfect. So we invite you to participate in that in whatever way you can. And we want to say thank you so much. Again, from Brandywine Flags, we're in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And we have all types of flags, U.S. Military flags, historic flags. We have flag poles, whether it be commercial or residential, vertical poles for your home or for your business. We also have the flag poles that attach to the side of your house.
We also have cards, gifts, and candles.
We have a great veteran center. We have a display of all the different types of veterans memorabilia, bunting, decorations for your home, what have you. Labor Day is coming up. Looking in terms of Christmas, the holidays, whatever, the decorative flags. So we invite you to come. And as a listener of WFYL, we invite you, and we will provide a 20% discount to anything that you purchase. So we thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week. Hopefully, we'll see you at the store in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. Have a great day.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.